Listening to Real Estate in Real Time. Have yourself a wonderful weekend.
You've been listening to Real Estate in Real Time on News Now Warsaw. Looking to buy
News Now Warsaw, WRSW, 1480 AM and W259BJ, 99.7 FM, Warsaw, Indiana.
Here we go. You know why to go to R&B Car Company, right? 90 days till your first payment, $3,500 minimum for your trade. And with locations in South Bend, Warsaw, and now Fort Wayne, you need to find out why we are where you ought to be. Because financing available with any kind of credit, we've got banks that cater to everyone, no matter the need, from compacts to big honking diesels, fast and friendly service, and the best deal bottom line. So shop now and get pre-approved at rbcarcompany.com.
This is Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw, 99.7 FM, 1480 AM, online at newsnowwarsaw.com and at the News Now Warsaw app. Here's your host for Tiger Talk, the radio voice of Tiger Sports, Roger Grossman.
Good morning. Happy Saturday. Happy holidays to you and yours from everybody at News Now Warsaw and Warsaw Tiger Athletics. No boys basketball last night on a Friday in December. It feels weird. It will never not feel weird having a Friday off in December. However, that's the case. Boys will be in action this afternoon. We'll talk with Matt more about that in a little bit. Boys games that were played last night. Bluffton beat Lakeland Christian 68-40. Bremen beat New Prairie 62-32. Cherubusco beat South Adams 60-45. It was Concord for Penn 38-35. Fort Wayne Northside, this afternoon's opponent for the Warsaw Tigers. Fort Wayne North beat Fort Wayne South 61-58 in overtime. It was Mishawaka Marion over Plymouth 65-27. North Judson beat Rochester 50-45. Peru beat Southwood 72-59. It was Adams over Elkhart 51-40. Tippecanoe New Valley beat Morgan Township 47-44. It was Triton over Pioneer 56-47. And Wabash beat Meconaqua 70-55. Girl scores from last night, there were a couple conference games. Northwood beat Mishawaka 56-28, and Wawasee won again. They beat Goshen 29-20. A look at the conference standings. Northridge, Warsaw, and Plymouth all 1-0. Wawasee and Northwood are 2-1. Mishawaka is 0-1, and Goshen and Concord are 0-2. A couple of the other scores from girls basketball around the area. Penn beat Mishawaka Marion 55-3. Tippecanoe Valley beat North Miami 58-47. Whitco beat Manchester 67-58. Whitco is now 7-2 on the season. And the big game around the area, Norwell knocked off number one in 4A Columbia City 45-44. The Warsaw girls had a very different week this week. We'll talk with Lenny Krebs about that coming up next here on Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw.
Our area lakes might be cold and ice could be forming, but now is the time to dream ahead to next year for a great time on the water with help from Splendor Boats. If this past summer you thought about taking your family's summer to the next level, make plans now to see the experts at Splendor. You can buy your pontoon, custom-built catamaran, or boat accessories at Warsaw's only marina on East Winona Avenue, or visit the original Splendor Boats location on State Road 15 in Silver Lake, and online at SplendorBoatsWarsaw.com. Splendor Boats thanks you for a great year and looks forward to serving you even better in the years ahead.
Basketball is a game where your team could play man defense, zone defense, motion offense, press. You could focus on shooting threes or scoring in the post. Whatever strategy you use, in order to win the game, your team needs a head coach with an effective game plan. We at Alderfer Bergen can help you develop and implement a financial game plan for your family's future.
Let Alderfer Bergen be the head coach of your financial planning team. Alderfer Bergen & Company, 122 West Market Street, Warsaw, and online at alderferbergen.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Whether your business is on the farm or in town, Crossroads Bank wants to help you succeed. That's why Crossroads Bank offers competitive rates and friendly service with their business loans. Visit crossroadsbanking.com or in person at their locations in Columbia City, North Manchester, Peru, South Whitley, Syracuse, Wabash, or Warsaw. Crossroads Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Where your bank and your life meet, Crossroads Bank.
You're listening to Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw, 99.7 FM and 1480 AM. Let's talk girls basketball with head coach Lenny Krebs.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good. Game day.
What a strange week you've had.
It was a very different week, not the one we had scheduled, not the one we had planned, but that's life.
All right, so let's go back to last Saturday. When you and I talked Saturday, you knew Saturday night's game was going to be hard, and it was, and your girls were right in it at halftime, only down by 4 points, and then that third quarter got away from you.
You know, Saturday's game was probably one of the more frustrating games we've had this year, just how things were going. We just couldn't seem to find our groove. And going back and watching that film, we know it was a game we could have won. We know it was a game we probably even should have won. It was just tough to find a groove. It was a different weekend. You know, like we talked about, how many high school teams are spending their time Friday night playing in Indy, staying overnight, spending the day at the hotel, and then going and playing another game. No excuses there. We didn't do what we needed to do Saturday, but it was a different week for a lot of these kids. A great learning experience. And, you know, you and I sat down and talked when we got back, and you asked me, did you accomplish what you wanted to accomplish with your trip to Indy? And I'm going to repeat my response, exact same thing I told you. We won't know until January when we're playing for a possible conference championship, when we're playing for a sectional championship. We'll know then if we accomplished what we needed to accomplish.
That time in between breakfast and JV tip-off on Saturday, I know that you had stuff planned for the girls and that you had the conference room at the hotel kind of all to yourself and everybody was kind of spread out and doing stuff. How did that work out?
You know, it worked out pretty good for the girls. I still laugh because there were two girls. Unless we were doing something collectively, they had their noses in their books. They were studying and doing homework, and we had to pull a couple kids away from their books. And I'm proud of that. I'm proud of the fact that they take their academics seriously. But there was some of that going on. But at the same time, there was a lot of card games going on. There was a lot of laughter in the room. There was a lot of bonding. And, you know, that is the important part. That's a thing you look back and remember. Maybe it's just because I'm getting older. Maybe it's because I don't remember as much as I used to, but I couldn't tell you my high school records every year. I can tell you my friendships. I can tell you experiences we had. Hopefully this is something they look back on and said, hey, remember that trip? We had a lot of fun. Those are the things we're trying to build. We're trying to build those memories that they're going to, you know, recall when they come back for that 15, 20, 25 year reunion.
Talk about the game itself, because I went back and watched the film of Saturday night's game in preparation for the game that we thought was going to happen on Wednesday. And the ball movement that we saw, and again, the height of that was at the Duneland Athletic Conference NLC shootout, where your girls moved the ball incredibly and scored over 140 points in those two games. The ball movement just wasn't there like it had been in the past few games. Why?
You know, we have a group of kids who we can't lie. They're pretty talented with the basketball in their hands. We can't lie about that. And I think every single kid wants to get things going when things aren't going well. They want to say, I'm going to make a play, get my team going. It appears probably to be more selfish than it probably is. I think in their mind, they're just trying to make a play to get their team going. And what we have to realize in our youth right now is the best way to get our team going is to get that ball pinging around like it was at the Duneland that we talked about, and use each other to create a great shot. We were getting a lot of good shots. We weren't getting great shots. And that's a big difference. And, you know, when you're shooting well, sometimes you can get by with some of those good shots. When you're not shooting well, and you know we didn't shoot well all weekend at Ben Davis or at Westfield, and what we have to do a better job of, and you can bet we worked on it throughout the week, and not having a game as scheduled, you know, on Wednesday, we really worked on this, on that ball moving around the perimeter and using each other. Like I said, I think it probably appears to be more selfish than what it is. I think the girls just are confident in their ability to make a play. And, you know, you can do that against some of the weaker teams on your schedule. You can't do that against the Ben Davis and the Westfields and those top-tier teams.
What did you learn about your team over the weekend?
You know, we fought. We played hard. That's the biggest thing. We could have just said, you know, not our day. We're just going to fold it up. We're going to go home. We're going to they play hard. They compete. I think we have a bunch of competitors, and that's why, like I said, I'm going to go back to the last statement I made about it. It probably appears to be more selfish because we've got a group of competitors. This is a group of girls that when the lights go on, they want to compete. They want to win. They want to do what they need to do to win. I love that about this group. You know, I always used to worry about how I practice and making sure everything was exactly perfect all week long. And as I've gotten older, I've learned to I don't want to say I've mellowed, but I've understood that they're not always going to be at their very best. And what we're starting to learn is let's just be our best today, whatever that is. And we've got a group of girls that strive to do that. And you know, it's going to pay off in the long run. Any family, any team goes through a lot of ups and downs, and we're going through some of those ups and downs as a team, and we're going to continue to love each other. There's always going to be conflict within the team. We've had some conflicts that we've had to resolve, none that I'm going to get into in detail. And this is the comment I keep telling the kids. Conflict is inevitable. Combat is optional. We're always going to have conflict. If you choose to make it a fight or not, that's up to you. But that's true in a family. That's true in any group of people. There's always going to be conflict. We had some conflict that we had to work through. And I'm thankful that this group of girls, they choose not to make it combat.
That happens in talented organizations, doesn't it?
It happens anywhere you go. And, you know, I ran into an old coach from Goshen last night. We were out shopping, and he made a comment. I asked him how he was doing. He's like, well, I'm retired. I'm living in Albion now, da-da-da. And he's like, but I would love to be where you're at. And I walked away, and I was laughing as I walked away with my wife, and I'm like, you can bet there are days I would rather change positions with him too. I don't think people realize there's probably more pressure in putting a group of talented kids together than there is when there's just no talent. And, you know, that's why I told the kids at the beginning of the year, this is going to be the hardest year you've ever been through. Last year, we knew we had talent, but we didn't have any expectations. The expectations were, as the expectations go up, the pressure goes up. As the pressure goes up, it becomes more difficult to maintain your focus on what's important. And that's the difficult part from the coaching standpoint about this team and the talent level we have, because we have an extremely talented group. We will for the next 2 years. Sometimes I think it's harder to coach at than it is to coach kids who there's just not any expectations.
Carroll is a place that Warsaw basketball teams, boys and girls, just have struggled, especially in this new building that they play in, the Charger Fieldhouse. It just hasn't gone well there. They've been struggling. They were 2-8 coming into the week. And this was going to be an opportunity after the weekend that you had where you didn't shoot well to maybe go in there and get some confidence back. And then the game gets canceled because all the Carroll coaches are sick. How did you handle that? How did you adjust to your schedule for that? And how does that set up then for tonight in your preparation over the last couple of days?
You know, coming off a double weekend, we didn't practice very hard on Monday or Tuesday, knowing we were going to have another game on Wednesday. When I say hard, we just didn't do as much up and down. And I think, once again, hard is relative. Come to a Warsaw girls practice, and hard really means hard. We didn't go as hard the first 2 days, knowing we were going to play on Wednesday. You know, I get the notice about, I don't know, probably around noon sometime on Wednesday that we weren't going to play. You got the same text message. And at that point, my brain is scrambling. What do I have to do to prep now? Because the coach's mind instantly goes to what's next, and that's Plymouth. And so at that point in time, you saw a scramble going from shutting the Carroll film down to picking up the Plymouth film and knowing we had practice that day right after school and what I had to get done in order to prep for Plymouth. You know, Thursday we brought the boys in, our boys practice squad. We probably wouldn't have done that if we had played Wednesday night. We brought them in Thursday to kind of give us some competitive practice time. And from there, you know, it was just on to Plymouth. A lot of scrambling on Wednesday. I have to give the girls a big shout out because they handled it extremely well. Anytime you tell this group of girls they don't get to go compete, you can be sure there's going to be a letdown. But we had two great practices. I thought our Thursday practice against the boys was probably one of the top one or two practices we've had all year.
See, in that, you're not the first person who said that. A couple of the girls said that to me, too, because my office sits where a lot of them walk from class to class. And I said, how to practice go Thursday? Just curious to see how they were dealing with not playing on Wednesday. And they said, it's the best practice that we've had all year. And that, I don't even know what that says. It's impressive, but I don't even know how to interpret that. How do you interpret that?
If you were going to come watch our practice against the boys and base it just on results, you might not think it was a successful practice. We can't base our results, our practices, and the success of practice on the results going against, you know, there's this probably 6'8" kid. There's kids who are extremely quick, handle the ball way quicker than anything we're going to face. What we saw was some competitive juice again, competing, trying to find ways to be successful, doing what you needed to do. And as a result, we started to have success showing in the result column, and it was fun to watch. In fact, we got to about 5:04, 5:05. We were planning to go to 5:30, and we just started a segment against the 1-3-1, knowing Plymouth was going to play some 1-3-1. We've had a great practice up to that point. First possession, we're on defense. They score, we push it up, attack, make a great pass, finish with the basket. At that point in time, Coach Spike and I are looking at each other like, we're done. Let's get out of here. We're going to end practice with this success, knowing what we've just been through. Just a phenomenal practice. I'm looking forward to seeing them put that into play today.
Okay, so talk about Plymouth. This is a team, a program, really, that has struggled over the last several years. Talk about what you expect tonight.
One, what we all know, the Plymouth-Warsaw feelings. Can't lie about that. This is Plymouth's, one of their big games. We're going to their building. We're Warsaw. They're going to come out and compete. They're going to come out and play hard. We're going to get their best shot. We know that. We have to match that competitive fight, that intensity, that focus. That's the first thing. When it comes to X's and O's, one, you know, I've seen them play a lot of 1-3-1, trying to trap some teams and pressure them more in the full court. They extend that to a diamond look in the three-quarter court and then drop back into a 1-3-1. I anticipate some man-to-man. We're ready for that. We play 1-3-1. We practice against it every day. I think the key to this, once again, I know you get tired of hearing this because we talk before a game all the time, is our pressure and pace. We have to maintain a high level of pressure for 32 minutes. Not too many teams want to handle that for 32 minutes. We have to go pressure them and create chaos, turnovers, and points off turnovers. And then just keep the pace high. Once again, 60 points, that's our goal. Getting to that threshold, and we can't afford to play these 29, 30, 35-point games. That's not who we are. We're not going to be as successful if we do that. So once again, it's going to come down to pressure and pace. And it's unique because I used to be the most detailed-oriented scouting person. I probably gave the girls too much information. And what we've realized now with this group and how we play is it doesn't matter as much. We just need to know what they're going to do, because we're switching from person to person defensively. You can't just know one person. You have to know. So we haven't gone as detailed. We give them fewer details, one or two things to remember about each person. So in my mind, this team has allowed the scouting to shift from not as detailed to let's control us. That's our goal tonight. We just have to control us, make sure we do what we do.
Tuesday in the Tiger Den, you're going to have your last home game of the 2023 portion of the schedule, and it's Columbia City. And they got beat by Norwell last night by 1 point, 45-44. I know you're fascinated to watch that film and see how that played out, because I would have guessed that those two teams, that would have been a 65-64 kind of a game, the way those kids offensively function. For you, knowing your girls, knowing it's at home, do you kind of wish Columbia City'd won and come in undefeated? Or are you okay with the fact that they kind of got dinged last night and they lost and their number one ranking's going to go away?
You know, that's a tough question, because I don't know if it's fair for me to answer that, because I don't know the makeup of Columbia City girls. I'm willing to bet, from their perspective, they just lost. They're going to come in a little bit more intense, focused, locked in to what they need to do. It's a group they're competitive. At the same time, you know, depending on their makeup, maybe that is a mental hurdle they struggle to overcome. You know, that's a tough question to answer from the outside. I could tell you about my group. You know, my group, if they lost and they were sitting undefeated, I would hate to be that next opponent walking into the gym. From my perspective, I guess it doesn't matter. I want Columbia City's best shot, not because of a win or loss, but I want to see where we're at in the middle of December, because we've got just over a month to get things fixed. I want Columbia City to expose any weaknesses we have. I love to win. I love going 1-0, but sometimes going 1-0 simply means learning more about your team and what you need to do in order to be successful in the end of the season. We could lose the Columbia City game, and it could still win us a championship.
Give us a kind of a health update. How is Brooke Zartman's ankle?
Zartman's going to be Zartman. She's going to have some pain in between now and Christmas until she can get off of it for some time. We've tried to limit her in practice a little bit. She's moving well. Had an amazing practice on Thursday. To watch a Brooke Zartman battle a 6'8 post player in the post. You need to go back and on the huddle camera and watch that Thursday practice and watch Brooke Zartman try to battle. I mean, she did everything but bite his kneecaps to try to prevent him from getting the ball. Love that kid and her competitive desire. Regardless of the ankle, she's going to compete and play hard.
What about Delaney?
Delaney's on the mend. Delaney is back on the court doing some 5-on-0 stuff. Been a long time coming since the 1st of September when she was injured. We're hoping that by the Wawasee game, she's starting to give us some limited minutes, starting to work 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes, and start to work her way back. As long as she shows us that she can play hard and compete and play the style, that's the other thing. Our style wears on you, and you have to be physically able to keep up. And I think she will. I think the big thing for her is the mental hurdle. She's on the mend. She's on her way back. We did lose a JV kid at Westfield. We have another ACL tear. Anna Alabach. Alabal tore her ECL at Westfield, so we're down another kid. Kyra Kaiser's out of surgery. She had her surgery. She's on the mend. So we've had some injuries. We've had some unfortunate things happen. But you know what? We're going to keep putting the pieces together and do the best we can.
Okay. Go get them tonight. I'll be watching and listening and hoping things go well.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, Lenny Krebs of the Lady Tigers. JV coverage or JV action begins tonight at Plymouth at the Rock, starting at 6 o'clock tonight. We won't not be able to be there because of the voice game in the Tiger Den this afternoon, which you will get a preview of coming up next with Matt Moore here on Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw.
Traveling, double dribble, personal foul, all bad things in basketball. Spotty dishes, rust stains, dry skin and hair, all bad things when it comes to your water. Rab Water Systems All-Star Team can help eliminate your water penalties. Home of the non-electric Kinetico, which provides clean, clear water 24/7 without electricity. Call or visit rabwater.com to fix your water.
When you need new furniture, there's no need to shop out of town. Just head straight to Reinhold's Town Square Furniture in Warsaw. Hi, this is Hannah. Reinhold's has a great selection of top quality furniture on hand and even more on the way, so you don't have to wait. We work with you to select the right furniture for your home, and you can choose from top brands you know and love, Hurry in today to 118 West Main Street in Warsaw to see your friends in the furniture business. Reinholds Town Square Furniture.
Hello, I'm Jay Rigdon with Rock Hill Pinnock. We're proud to sponsor another year of Tiger basketball, another year of boys and girls getting ready, working hard, and preparing for their upcoming games. Are you prepared for your future? At Rock Hill Pinnock, we create wills, trusts, and other documents that will help you be ready for your future and your family's future, whatever that future brings. We have more legal experience than anyone in the area. And why would you trust your family's future with anything less? Call 267-6116 for an appointment. Rock Hill Pinnock, lawyers you can count on.
Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company in Warsaw, on News Now Warsaw, continues as Roger is joined by boys basketball coach Matt Moore.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Roger.
Hey, good weekend last weekend.
Thank you. I mean, yeah, it's the outcome was in the left-hand column.
Yeah.
That was successful, and I think we found some things that we wanted to continue to strive to improve on, and we've had a good week of practice, and I'm looking forward to seeing how all that comes out tonight.
Before the first game, I said to you, and I said on the radio, that I was fascinated to see how all this shakes out, to see who steps up in the leadership roles, to see who wants the ball in the fourth quarter of close games. And you've had three close games so far this season. And it's been pretty clear who is going to step up. And that's been really encouraging to me. And not only were they willing to step up, but they were effective in doing so.
Yeah, I think, you know, finding kind of where you fit is part of the process of becoming a young adult. And, you know, whether it's on a basketball team or going to college or entering the workforce, like you've kind of figure out where your niche is and how you can add value. You know, we can define roles, but it's more about the accepting of the roles and maximizing those roles, being an all-star in those roles that I think our guys are starting to kind of lean into. And, you know, we've got a couple guys that, in our opinion, probably haven't played up to what their potential of playing is. But at the same time, I think the competitive spirit has been there. You're right. Like, we've had to find ways to win games. You know, the Homestead game was very strange in the runs that happened. I'd not really been a part of anything like that.
It was more like a volleyball game.
Yeah, it really was. And Huntington, you know, they did their thing, and I think our guys probably learned a lesson about, you know, respect all, fear none in that atmosphere where you got to come out and you got to set the tone and you got to be able to execute the game plan early. Otherwise, teams like that can hang around. So a lot of good, and I think our guys are starting to grow in their confidence and their belief. But I think also, like, the ceiling for us is extremely high, and we've got to continue to stretch and grow and pursue that.
When a team is 3-0 and they've won some close games, the momentum is clear in that. And at the same time, you've got to keep them grounded so that they understand that ceiling is high and that they haven't arrived yet. How do you do that with this group? Is that even a problem with this group?
I think it's a challenge with every 17-year-old in America, probably. I mean, it's the norm, right? And I think for me personally, like, I'm a celebrate rarely, grind daily kind of person, and I don't really spend a lot of time celebrating things. And whether that's a strength or a deficiency, it allows me to get back to work. And I think our coaching staff takes that approach. I think our guys, you know, I think they understand that the goal is not to be 3-0, especially in December. The goal is to be 3-0 in March and move forward. And so we have games in front of us. We watch film. We have deficiencies. But we do spend time and we do celebrate the things that are going well, because I think it is important for us to let them know that you know, as a coach, you're spending a lot of your time as a fixer of things. And when you have good teams, the things that need fixed are a lot less than a team that is not as complete. And so, you know, if we're a 9 out of 10, you know, we're looking at that 10% of how can we get better at screening, at passing, at attack areas, at rebound position. All those things are what coaches kind of spend their focus on, not the 90% that's going well. So I think we did spend some time this week. You know, Monday was a hard film session. It was the truth, and I think our guys took from that. And then Wednesday, we watched the good stuff, and I think there's a true balance there of letting them know that we got things we got to get better at for sure, but here are the things that are going really well for us, and it's because you're doing things at a high level consistently.
One of the things that we were watching to see was the development of Luke Bricker. We all know he can fill it up from 20 feet and beyond. Does he have a second pitch, so to speak? Does he have a different way that he can go from becoming a shooter, which he most certainly is, to a scorer, which we have not seen him do? Can you explain the difference and how that factors into this team and his importance and value in it?
Yeah, I mean, I think he is doing that from my perspective of who he was a year ago. And he had to be a compliment, right? He had to be a side dish or a condiment even. You know, he was more ketchup than he was fries. And he has to compliment certain guys a year ago. How I evaluate that is, you know, his free throw attempts, I think he's taken 17 free throw attempts. So that means he's playing off the bounce a lot more. And he's finding ways to get to his spots, and he is shooting, you know, comparatively, I don't know what the numbers are, but his twos to threes are pretty balanced. And so, you know, in that sense, I think that's where he has definitely grown. And that's something that I think our staff has done a really good job of. We've kind of shifted how we're playing offensively and trying to create more space because, and we do have a lot of guys that can play off the bounce, and we're trying to create gaps, double gaps, to give them opportunities to drive so that we can create spot-up opportunities for other guys as well.
Brant Martin has been terrific. The first three games of the season, we saw him make a move that showed us a creativity that we had not seen in him. It was right down under there, second half, fourth quarter. He got a three-point play where he leans underneath the guy to his left and shoots that left-handed, underhanded off the glass with the contact. That's something we haven't seen from him before. Have you seen that a lot in practice?
Yeah, you know, I always go back. I remember watching him in middle school when I got here, and there was just an it factor that Brant possessed. And, you know, I remember saying to Ryan and David early in the process, like, he's going to be a dude. Like, he's going to be a player. There's something about that kid. And he's extremely humble. He doesn't probably even believe in himself the way that those around him believe in him. But I do feel like he has an alter ego, and I think we've talked about that maybe with guys like him in the past where, you know, my daughter Maya is a big wrestling fan, and there's Dwayne Johnson, and then there's The Rock.
Yes.
Right? There's Clark Kent, and then there's Superman.
Yeah.
And I think Brant, you know, I nicknamed him, you know, a couple of years ago, Brant Daddy, because he's a man. Like, he possesses the ability to be the man, and he goes from you know, Brant Martin to B Mart or Brant Daddy, and I mean he has really kind of leaned into that, and I think he is someone who at all three levels can shoot it, can play it off the bounce, gets to the free throw line, plays in the post. Like, he's becoming a complete player, and I think that's where his competitive spirit comes out, is when his alter ego kind of comes out with it.
You're about a seventh of the way through the season. You played three games, so not a huge sample size. But one of the things we thought about this team is that it would be a deep team. It would be the deepest team that you have, and you're a 7 and 8 player guy. But we've seen you play 9 and 10 guys, and what a great thing to have, not only for fouls and injuries, but if somebody's not doing what they're supposed to be doing, you have alternatives.
Yeah, and I think this week in particular, we emphasize that because I think part of our job is to continue to challenge the guys that are in roles that earn big minutes, and also, I don't know if motivate the word, but motivate the guys that are behind them. And I do feel with the 13 guys that we're dressing, if we have opportunities to play them, if somebody's not doing their job, I'm going to play them. And that's something we discussed this week. And, you know, this week Luke Yeager was sick, was there yesterday, but you know, missed. He was down Saturday, was sick. Sunday was sick. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And so Reed Nelson, in his absence, had a tremendous week. So tonight, Reed's going to get the nod to be just on the varsity. And you know, he hasn't started a JV game yet this year. You know, it doesn't mean Luke's not going to play, but Reed has stepped in to that opportunity. And, you know, Tristan Wilson, You know, I've talked about, you know, if Luke's not going to do things at the level I need him to, Luke Bricker, then you need to be ready because I'm going to play you. And if Robbie's not going to do things the way we need to, Elijah, you better be ready. And if Brant's not going to do them, then Kellen, you need to be ready. Like, you know, Parker's right there, can shoot it with anybody. So I think those guys know that I'm authentic about that because there's a standard of excellence that we have to continue to pursue. It doesn't always mean the outcome's going to be what we want, but the pursuit of that needs to be as high and as dialed in as it possibly can. And so I think there'll be opportunities. And like I said, tonight is Reed's opportunity to kind of match up with Northside's big guy.
And we talked a little bit about this last Saturday on the show. Tristan Wilson is the perfect example of this last Friday. He comes in a close game that he has not played in, and he makes that drive up the baseline, a perfect kick across for a three-pointer that turned out to be a big deal in the game.
Yeah,
he was ready for his moment.
Yeah, and you need to be. And that's where I think, you know, even down to the freshman level, they're sitting at 5-0 right now and have done a really good job. Jalen Reese has done a tremendous job of just kind of coaching that group up. And because Reed's elevation tonight is going to elevate Grady to junior varsity. We've got a couple injuries. Mason O'Malley's out. Cooper Davis is out. So some of those guys that may not have been getting as much opportunity at the freshman level, like their opportunity is going to be today. And like you can't complain about, man, I never get a chance, and then your chance comes and you're not ready for it. Like, yeah. So they need to carry the banner well tonight when they have an opportunity to play as well.
Talk about the game this afternoon.
Yeah, so, you know, Northside's a really talented team. It's been a really good matchup for us the last couple years. We played them at Grace 2 years ago and won a really competitive game. We did not play well there last year. I think we had just the wrong mindset going in, and they were really good last year as well. And they return a bunch of guys. You know, they're two wings, both 6'4", 6'5", scoring around 20 a game right now. They won their rivalry game last night in overtime against Southside. That's a big win for them coming at 3-0. So, you know, for us, it's about can we start the game the way that we need to start the game against a team that, you know, coming in on a you know, it's normally a 7:30 start. It's a 5 o'clock start, so it's, you know, a couple hours earlier. We've got to be ready to go out the gate. And this is a game where if we come out and just kick it into gear and defend at a high level, they may get disinterested and the game could be over by halftime. If we don't take care of the ball, they're extremely talented and their half-court traps are good. They could hang around. They got two guys that are capable of putting up 30. So it's going to be completely about our intent and then what we're focused on and if we can bring that to a high level tonight.
When you play teams like Northside, tempo matters. You've wanted to play at a higher tempo this year. How does that fit into today?
Yeah, I think that doesn't change. I think it just comes back to quality, right? We've gotten really good shots. The two areas we emphasize are what we call the box, basically the volleyball line down in the lane, and then corner threes. And I want to say we're 19 for 35 from corner threes. So if we drive the ball, we get to the box, we're scoring it at 63%. If we hit corner threes, you know, our points per shot's just under 2 points per shot just by shooting corner three. So we understand that if we play inside of what we're trying to, we're going to get good shots. But can we set our defense? Can we limit them to one? You know, we may mix what we're trying to do defensively a little bit. We've been working on some stuff this week. So, but it comes back to how hard you're going to play and if you're going to compete. And if we do those, I think it puts us in a good spot.
Bills this weekend? How do they look?
You said the Bills?
Yeah.
Well, it's been I'm happy for Colts fans. I'll just say that. Right. But Marcus and I are struggling with this, with the Bills right now. But, you know, we're still on the bandwagon. I've been on since 1990, and we're going to ride it till the wheels fall off.
As you should.
Absolutely.
We'll see you this afternoon.
Thank you.
Matt Moore of the Warsaw Tigers. Again, the JV game is a 3:30 start. So we'll go on at 3:25 on News Now Warsaw. And we thank the Warsaw Donut Shop for supplying donuts for our coaches today. When we come back, we'll talk about the other teams at Warsaw Community High School. That's next here on Tiger Talk, driven by RB Car Company on News Now Warsaw.
bad wreck, bad wreck. Oh, what you gonna do? Oh, what you gonna do? Call the boys in blue. Car stalls won't start. Oh, what you gonna do? Oh, what you gonna do? Call the boys in blue. Wrecking any state and need the best rates. Take the next step, call Riker Dinep. Go with the guys who got the best tools. If you get in a wreck, they'll come and get you. Bad wreck, bad wreck. Oh, what you gonna do? Call Riker Dinep to come get you.
Remember, when you get in a wreck,
call Riker Dinep.
You see a chipped or cracked windshield. We see it repaired or replaced by specialists at our place or yours. Our glass doctor specialists use original equipment glass, special sealants, and a 28-point installation checklist. If your windshield is damaged or broken within 12 months, we'll replace the glass free. That's the Glass Doctor exclusive G12 road hazard guarantee. Visit glassdoctor.com for information on repairing or replacing your windshield.
Call the Glass Doctor, we'll fix your paint.
Oh, yeah!
New beginnings.
This is a great day for the city of Indianapolis.
Colts select Peyton Manning.
Bring hope and optimism.
The Indianapolis Colts select Anthony Richardson.
We got to be relentless in our pursuit to be the best.
Together, we will make memories, whether you fight with all you've got,
Colts win!
Or cheer like crazy. All of us are part of something bigger. For Sundays Together, for Indiana, for the Shoe.
Catch the Colts all season long on News Now Warsaw, 1480 AM and 99.7 FM.
Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company, continues with a look at the scores and schedules for all the teams at Warsaw Community High School. It's Tiger Sports Diary on News Now Warsaw.
Let's start with wrestling. The wrestling team hosted their Hutch Memorial Duels on Saturday of last weekend after the longtime wrestling coach, Coach Hutchinson, and the Tigers finished 4-1 overall. They went 3-0 in their round-robin pool, and then they played two more matches against the top two teams in the other pool. So Warsaw went 4-1, finishing second to Wawasee's 5-0. Warsaw beat Concordia 73-6. They beat Elkhart 44-36. They beat Concord 48-30. They beat Penn 45-25. And for the second time this season, they lost to Wawasee in a close one, 39-32. And again, they tied with them before, and they went to like the ninth tiebreaker to term the winner. So you look at 39-32, you change around one outcome, and it changes the whole match, right? One Wawasee win subtracts six from their score, adds six to Warsaw's score. Now it's 38-33. So that's how close it has been between those two sides. Isaiah Martinez and Danny Moon went undefeated on the day. Martinez was 5-0 with two pins at 126. Moon was 5-0 with three pins at 150. Bryce McNeese at 113. Elias Garza, 126. Gabe Veit at 132. Cameron Kaufman at 285. All went 4-1. Donovan Frazier at 106. Alex Vallejo at 138. Noah Wilkins at 190. All went 3-2. Beckham Boylan at 215. Liam Smith at 175. Jorge Mejia at 165. And Enrique Silva at 144 were all able to pick up two wins on the day. Then in conference on Thursday, the boys took on the Plymouth Rockies on the road. Warsaw was able to keep it close until the last few matches. Eventually, Plymouth would pull away and win 49-27. Winners for the Tigers: Aaron Ross, Liam Smith, Noah Wilkins, Bryce McNeese, and Elias Garza. Ross got the first victory of the night for the Tigers after the Rockies had opened the night with three straight wins to go up 18-0. For the Tigers, Ross got his win at 165 after a Plymouth forfeit to Leon Smith at 175. Noah Wilkins got a pin for Warsaw at 190. That evened up the contest at 18 apiece. Plymouth then picked up three more wins in the next three matches. Bryce McNeese ended that streak with a pin at 113. That was followed by a very gritty performance by Eliza Garza at 120. His 6-3 win made the final points for the Tigers, pushed them to 27. They were still down by seven. They needed a couple wins in those last three matches. They didn't get it, and Plymouth goes on to win it 49-27. There were nine JV matches. Warsaw won six of them. Jace Vining was a winner. So was Ethan Crawford, Owen Barker, Nolan Stump, Hurley Rogers, and Chris Vigoroa all by pin. The Tigers are now 7-6 on their season, 1-4 in the NLC. Let's talk swimming. Last Saturday, the Warsaw Invitational was held at the Tiger Pool, and there was a big field of competitors in that, 8 teams for both the boys and the girls, including Warsaw. And we started off with the 200 medley relay. Warsaw's team of Elizabeth Joselis, Anna Stevens, Brooke Shimasaki, and Marissa Howitt finished first with a time of 202.83. In the boys' race, the Warsaw team of Aiden Teo, Jonah Potter, Bishop Hudson, and Alex Bowers came in sixth. In the girls' 200 freestyle, Elizabeth Joselis was second, Elizabeth Vanderbee was fifth, and Gibson Claxton was eighth. In the boys' 200 free, Alex Bowers was second, Aiden Teo was fifth, and Matthias Nabia finished in seventh. Warsaw had four of the top eight in the girls' 200 IM. Brooke Shimasaki won that, the sophomore with a time of 226.96. Anna Stevens was third, Claire Corson seventh, and Lucy Ray came in eighth. In the boys' race, Griffin Brown was the winner. The junior won with a time of 208.68. Michael Webster was third, and James Brady was eighth. In the girls' 50 free, Marissa Howitt was second, Ariel Strange was fourth, and Veronica Smith was sixth. In the boys' 50 free, Diego Manwaring was second, and Elijah Zog came in fifth. For the boys' 100 free, no, I'm sorry, for the boys' 100 butterfly, Brooke Shimasaki was the winner with a time of 108.57. Claire Corson was fifth, and Gibson Claxton came in eighth. For the boys' butterfly, Griffin Brown was second, Kaylin Swinehart was fifth. In the girls' 100 free, Rose Howitt was second, Ariel Strange was sixth, Elizabeth Vanderbee was eighth. In the boys' 100 free, Diego Manwaring won that race with a time of 51.86. Elijah Zog was third, Josh Warner fourth, and Dallas Lancaster seventh. For the girls' 500 free, Elizabeth Joselis was second, Veronica Smith third, Elizabeth Osborne was fourth. For the boys' 500 free, Alex Bowers was third, and Aiden Teo came in fourth. In the girls' 200 freestyle relay, Warsaw's team of Anna Stevens, Ariel Strange, Brooke Shimasaki, and Marissa Howitt came in first with a time of 147.81. They won that race by 8 full seconds. Warsaw's team of Maddie Nunez, Claire Corson, Haley Strange, and Elizabeth Vanderbee came in fifth. In the boys' 200 freestyle relay, Warsaw's team of Jonah Potter, Ethan Farrar, a couple freshmen, Matthias Nabia, and Elijah Zog came in third. In the boys' 100 backstroke, in the girls' 100 backstroke, Warsaw had a best place finish of Elizabeth Osborne, who came in 10th. In the boys' 100 backstroke, Josh Warner was second, Jonah Potter fourth, and Matthias Nabia was seventh. In the girls' 100 breaststroke, Warsaw had three in the top seven, Anna Stevens at second, Lucy Ray sixth, and Haley Strange was seventh. In the boys' 100 breaststroke, it was Kaylin Swinehart first, Michael Webster second, Swinehart winning with a time of 105.31. In the girls' 400 free relay, Warsaw's team of Ariel Strange, Veronica Smith, Elizabeth Joselis, and Lucy Ray came in third. In sixth, Maddie Nunez, Elizabeth Vanderbee, Elizabeth Osborne, and Claire Corson were sixth. And in the boys' 400 free relay, Warsaw's team of Diego Manwaring, Elijah Zog, Griffin Brown, and Kaylin Swinehart won the race with a time of 327.81. Warsaw's other team, Ethan Farrar, Aiden Teo, Dallas Lancaster, and Josh Warner came in fourth. Final standings, the girls won with a score of 540. Fort Wayne Snyder was second with 429. Manchester was third with 295. For the boys, Warsaw won with 593. Northwestern, 425. Rochester finished third at 275.5. Then on Tuesday, a three-way meet at the Tiger Pool between Warsaw, Mishawaka, and Northridge. The 200 medley relay team of Brooke Shimasaki, along with Elizabeth Joselis, Veronica Smith, and Marissa Howitt came in second. The boys' 200 medley relay team of Josh Warner, Aiden Teo, Michael Webster, and Elijah Zog came in second. In the girls' 200 free, Anna Stevens was second, and a second-place finish in the boys' race for Griffin Brown. In the girls' 200 IM, Marissa Howitt was second, and Ariel Strange came in third. In the boys' 200 IM, Kaitlin Swinehart came in third. In the girls' 50 free, Veronica Smith was fourth. In the boys' 50 free, Diego Manwaring was second. in the girls' 1 meter diving, Sophia Stewart was second. And in the boys' 1 meter diving, Warsaw swept the top three spots with Ian Parrott winning with a score of 253.70, followed by Skylar Crutch and Dallas Lancaster. In the girls' 100 butterfly, Elizabeth Jo Sellis was fifth. In the boys' 100 butterfly, Griffin Brown won the race with a time of 56.54. In the girls' 100 freestyle, Anna Stevens took second, and Brooke Shimasaki finished in third. And in the 100 freestyle for the boys, Diego Manwaring was your winner with a time of 51.79. In the girls' 500 free, Veronica Smith was third. For the boys, Elijah Zog finished in third. In the girls' 200 freestyle relay, Warsaw's team of Ariel Strange, Lucy Ray, Elizabeth Jo Sellis, and Anna Stevens came in second. In the boys' free relay, Diego Manwaring, Ethan Farrar, Kaylin Swinehart, and Griffin Brown came in second. In the girls' 100 backstroke, Brooke Shimasaki was second for Warsaw, and Marissa Howitt was third. In the boys' 100 backstroke, Josh Warner was second. In the 100 breaststroke, Elizabeth Jo Sellis was third. And in the boys' race, Kaylin Swinehart came in third for the Tigers. The 400 free relay, Warsaw's team of Brooke Shimasaki, Anna Stevens, Marissa Howitt, and Ariel Strange won the race with a time of 402.38. And the boys' race went to Warsaw as well, with Diego Manwaring, Elijah Zog, Griffin Brown, and Kaylin Swinehart winning the race with a time of 333.23. And Warsaw's other team, their second team, finished in third. Jonah Potter, Aiden Teo, Matthias Nabia, and Josh Warner. Final meet scores, though. Boys, Northridge beat Warsaw 103-80. Warsaw beat Mishawaka 150-7, which I don't remember a team having that few points in a meet against Warsaw. Northridge beat Mishawaka 139-5. For the girls, Northridge beat Warsaw 110-70. Warsaw beat Mishawaka 131-53. And Northridge beat Mishawaka 135-44. The freshman girls basketball team played against Central Noble on Thursday. That was in Albion. They lost to Central Noble 39-34. Elise Walter scored 9 to lead the way for the Lady Tigers. The freshman boys last Saturday, another heart stopper. They were down 6 with 3 minutes to go and beat Huntington Worth 30-28. Kai Asay with a couple of huge three-pointers in the fourth quarter to help the Tigers. He had 13 points. Tucker Reed finished with 6. And then the freshman boys on Thursday were winners over Plymouth at Plymouth 35-20. 13 guys got on the bus to play. All 13 got into the game for Jalen Reese's team, who is now 5-0, as Coach Moore said earlier. That brings us to the current. The varsity wrestling team is at Northridge for their Super Duels today. That's underway already up in Middlebury. Two key matches in there. You have Northridge and Northwood, and those count as conference matches. The JV boys wrestling team is at Plymouth for their invitational today. That's also underway. The girls and boys swimming and diving teams are home this morning. That has just started. That's against Goshen. And then the basketball teams are in action tonight. Girls on the road at Plymouth. JV starts at 6. The freshmen, JV and varsity boys are home against Fort Wayne Northside. The JV will start in the Tiger Den at 3:30, followed by the varsity game. The freshman game will be down in the Career Center Gym, also at 3:30. Monday is an off day for competition. The swimming and diving teams are at Plymouth on Tuesday at 5:30. And the girls' basketball team hosts a big one, and that will be at Warsaw at the high school. Freshmen in the Career Center at 6:15. The JV at 6:15 in the Tiger Den. Varsity to follow Columbia City, who currently still is the number one team after losing last night. They're likely to fall out of that spot, but they're still going to be a highly ranked team coming into the Tiger Den. And our coverage begins at 7:25 on News Now Warsaw. Wednesday, the freshman girls basketball team will host Valparaiso at 5 o'clock, or at 6 o'clock our time. And the wrestling team is home against Lakeland High School at 6:45. On Thursday, the boys freshman team is at Wallowsee at 6:30. There was a freshman girls game scheduled for that night as well. That has been postponed, and that will be on December the 18th. And then on Friday, you have JV and varsity basketball in the Tiger Den. Wauwatosa comes to town. JV action begins at 6:15. Our coverage begins at 6:10 on News Now Warsaw. And then next Saturday is the Warsaw Dive Invitational. The swimming teams are at Carroll for their invitational next Saturday. Boys basketball plays in the Champions of Character Classic at Grace College. That starts at 1 with Concord and East Noble, 2:30 Snyder and Leo, 4 o'clock St. Joe and Concordia, 6 o'clock South Bend, Washington at Warsaw. Our coverage begins at 5:30 on News Now Warsaw, and then Manchester and Fort Wayne Blackhawk will wrap things up. There's a story that's going to go online at warsaw-tigers.com that will have the ticket link. This is not part of your season ticket package. It's not available on your all-sports pass if you're a Warsaw fan. So you have to pay to get into this one. And if you say, well, I'll just stay home and watch it online, it is pay-per-view. So you have to pay for the online also. So you might as well just come to the game, cheer for the Tigers. And again, that story with all those details will go up online starting on Monday. When we come back, we'll wrap things up here on Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw.
Here we go. You know why to go to R&B Car Company, right? 90 days till your first payment, $3,500 minimum for your trade. And with locations in South Bend, Warsaw, and now Fort Wayne, you need to find out why we are where you ought to be. Because financing available with any kind of credit, we've got banks that cater to everyone, no matter the need, from compacts to big honking diesels, fast and friendly service, and the best deal bottom line. So shop now and get pre-approved at rbcarcompany.com.
Progressive Insurance, Home Depot, Babbel. You recognize the names? Know what they have in common? They are some of radio's top advertisers last year. Effective advertising boosts top-of-mind awareness. Radio works because listeners recall 82% of the commercials that they hear. That's 5 times more than non-radio advertisers. For a free consultation on how Warsaw Radio can help make your business grow, contact Woody at woody@kensington.media. That's woody@kensington.media, where we are working for you.
And now, for final thoughts on Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company, here's Roger.
We wrap up the show today by thanking Coaches Krebs and Moore for joining us in studio, as they always do, and thanking R&B Car Company for their support of what we try to do here each and every Saturday, and the Warsaw Donut Shop for feeding our coaches this morning. We also thank you, of course, for spending your Saturday with us, and we look forward to broadcasting the boys' game this afternoon again. 3:25 is the airtime. 3:30 is the JV tip-off from the Tiger Den, so do not be late. Again, that was originally scheduled as 4:30, but because the girls are playing at Plymouth and you have two coaches that are coaching on the boys' team that have girls playing on the girls' varsity, they moved it up an hour, and Fort Wayne Northside doesn't care. They don't mind playing these late afternoon games because it gets their kids home a little earlier. So you can understand how that all works. So good job by them making all that happen. We're looking forward to seeing you at the Tiger Den this afternoon. Culture in action tomorrow, noontime pregame show, 1 o'clock kickoff on News Now Warsaw, so don't miss that. Stay tuned. Gary Sullivan is coming up next. Have a great weekend, everyone.
You've been listening to Tiger Talk on News Now Warsaw, 99.7 FM and 1480 AM. For more on Tiger Sports, log on to newsnowwarsaw.com and warsaw-tigers.com. Follow Roger Grossman on Twitter at RogerGrossman1. Tiger Talk is a presentation of News Now Warsaw, a member of Kensington Digital Media of Indiana.